Thank you, Farmer Connor. Who is God and what is God up to in our world? God's kingdom is like, it's the way Jesus began so many of his parables. It says, though whatever God is up to in the world and whoever God is not self-evident. And so there's not these neat little trails that you can go to discover this is where God is, this is what God is like, and this is what God is doing. In his parables, you can almost feel Jesus' sort of frustration or reaching for some appropriate images, stories, or metaphors that adequately characterize God's kingdom. It's like a traveler going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's like a woman making bread. It's like a father who had two sons. And on this Sunday, it's like a farmer sowing seeds. It's like this plant that grows up into this shrub. Jesus said, this is what God's kingdom is like. It's as though someone scatters seed on the ground, then sleeps, and wakes night and day and night, and sleeps. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer has no clue. Farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself, first stalks, and then the head, and then the full head of grain. Whenever that crop is ready, the farmer gets up, goes out, cuts the grain, because it's harvest time. Don't you wonder, I reflected this just the other day with someone, if Jesus walked the streets today of our towns and our cities, what he'd say about the kingdom, how he would describe it, what metaphors, what images he would use. Maybe in the Midwest, in the heart of farming land, he would use agricultural images. But in this area where so few anymore understand farming, would there be other images from the city, from the streets? I think so. I told Jessica via text message that she needed to be the one to preach the sermon, since she's been the one that's been the farmer this past week. Gardening and farming in North Carolina for the summer class she's taken. But then I guess I have a little bit of experience with gardening and farming throughout the years too. And every year I go back in the fall to help my brothers with the harvest, show up at harvest time. Although this year, I'm not sure, because a couple of weeks ago, my brothers had a severe hailstorm come through, significantly damaged the crops. Many of the corn stalks were broken off of the ground, and they won't regenerate. And so they were getting some estimates this past week from insurance adjusters about what they should do. Our gospel today, which includes the parable of the sower, is a favorite parable in its various versions of preachers. For you see, it's as though when we get up on Sunday mornings to preach, we sling seed out there. We love that parable. That's us on Sunday morning, slinging seed, just throwing it out there, just getting it out there, hoping it falls on good ground, but not really caring one way or another. We hope the seed germinates, takes root, and bears fruit. In other places, other than the Gospel of Mark and the use of this parable, it's as though some of the seed falls on rocky ground, unsuitable soil, and that seed is wasted. But in Mark's version of the parable, the seed and the soil are things that seem to impress, or at least the things that get my attention, is that curious phrase, the seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The sower sows the seed, then goes to sleep, doesn't weed, doesn't till the soil, in expectations of the harvest, doesn't spray, which farmers do now, unlike Tim, who doesn't spray. The farmer doesn't irrigate or cultivate. The farmer goes to sleep, which farmers do, but most farmers, when it's time to plant, sleep is sort of secondary. He wakes and goes back to sleep. And I think, well, basically, he's a bad farmer. He doesn't know how this all happens. Most farmers these days, if you talk to them, they can tell you exactly how it is that everything happens or doesn't happen in their farming operation. But this farmer, he slings seed, and he's too lazy to make sure it gets only in the good soil. He's just slinging it, and then he goes to sleep, and then he doesn't have any idea how the seed grows. He's just glad that it does. And he shows up for the harvest. And I think that what's Jesus getting at in this parable? Despite the farmer's lack of sustained attention and action, the seed sprouts anyway, takes root and grows. This is a challenge for us, all of us, I think, in our results-oriented, that we do something and we expect results. For pastors, it's challenging. We believe that healthy churches should grow both in depth and breadth of their spiritual life, and we'd love it if they grew numerically as well. In order to grow the church, the congregation must regularly assess its work, strategize, plan, set appropriate goals and targets, and then that process continues. As pastors, the conference expects us to have growth plans and submit those once a year, which I don't think I did this year. Sorry, Mary. I'm accountable. Need to be accountable. It's like we did last week here in our fellowship hall, where 20 or so of us gathered around tables and ate Danella's delicious cookies and talked about dreams and possibilities for PMC. It's all part of the process. But then comes this story about a farmer who slings seed everywhere over the ground and goes to sleep. No planning, no cultivation, no care, just sling the seed and go to sleep. The earth produces the fruit by itself, the text says, and then the stalk, and then the head, and then the full ear of grain. The earth is the, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. The seed grows, as Jesus makes explicit. The farmer, clueless about all the natural processes. These parables, we sometimes call the parable of the sower, really a parable about the grower. The focus on God and what God is like, and what God is up to in the world, and it seems to me much less about us as sowers, so that it reminds me of the text from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul says, I planted, Apollos came along and watered the plants, but God gave the increase. We have a part. Oh, yes, we have a part, but not primarily about us. I've read a fair number of books and gone to seminars over the years on church growth and vitality, and confess that most of those seminars just made me cranky because it was too formulaic. This is what you have to do in order for the church to grow. And I said this in our congregational meeting last Sunday, and I quote myself, if that feels preposterous, I beg forgiveness, but quoting myself anyway. But I said this, perhaps pastors have some great vision for a congregation and some special insight into God's yearning for a community. I think that's largely a myth. And we as pastors do well to humbly acknowledge that the wind of the Spirit blows in ways we can't predict or program. Things that feel God-breathed often surprise us. So at best, we hold forth some hunches about the Spirit's work among us and in our community, and wonder, dream, and yes, lament and grieve with you about our present realities and the future of the church in general and PMC in particular. End of quote. We don't know. And it's okay not to know. The theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, said that the way it sometimes is with our understanding of God. There is a sense, said Barth, that the closer we come to Christ, the more we experience Christ in our daily lives, the more distant from truly knowing Christ, the more mysterious Christ becomes to us, the more surprised we are by the unique plan Christ has for bringing about the kingdom. I like that. So perhaps a sign of our maturity in faith is less certainty. The farmer merely throws out the seed and goes to bed, and wonder of wonders, the seed grows. Maybe Jesus is saying that it's our business to plant the seed, but it's God's self-assigned business to give the growth. This morning's parable about the seed is hard for us in our culture. We like to think of ourselves as doers and shakers. We believe that anything we set our mind to, we can achieve if we work hard and have faith in our abilities. And there's some truth to that. Perhaps Jesus is saying the things that we need most in life, love, meaning, community, joy, can't be self-produced. If we are to have them, we simply receive them as gifts, as mysterious, unplanned, unearned grace. Please note that the parable, as Mark records it, is not how about some seed germinates and takes root and some seed doesn't. It's a promise that even though we've cast the seed and go to sleep, the seed will take root. There will be a harvest. And that had to be good news. That had to be great news, in fact, to this little band of disciples huddled around Jesus as he was telling these stories, because they had observed Jesus They had observed Jesus earn not a bountiful harvest, but consistent criticism and opposition. Oh yeah, there were a lot of people around Jesus that were spectators. Then they'd go home, they'd come out of curiosity, and then leave just as quickly. They weren't the ones that were committed to following this man. Only 12 had come forth and were calling and were following. And yet Jesus tells them, "You are the seeds from which a great harvest will be produced." Or perhaps Jesus is saying that even though you are small in number, even though we're up to a lot of opposition, God will bring forth fruitfulness from these little seeds we plant. Just maybe our presence here on earth this morning shows the truth that in this church, the truth of Jesus' promise is revealed. There is growth. There is life. There is vitality. There is hope. Here we are, fruit of seed that was planted in the earth with Christ 2,000 years ago. Here is the good news for us too, folks. Our congregation, not the biggest, grandest gathering in town on this Sunday morning. And yet, here are the seeds that God, the good gardener, is casting upon the earth, right here, observable for all to see. And though we don't know how, though sometimes it's all a great mystery to us, we are the way God is busy transforming the world. I think it's doubly important, triply important to keep that in mind these days when the efforts of the church seem to be diminishing, when it feels more and more hopeless and helpless, when it feels like we hear only bad news and discouraging news. Take heart. The kingdom of God is among us. And it's good news for us as individual Christians too, for you see, you daily, weekly perform these small acts of service. I see it. You bake a pie and give it to someone. You write a note to someone who's going through a tough time. You express your condolences to the family of a former pastor, Jim Burkholder. Nothing real big, not carefully planned or perhaps even brilliantly executed. Then you go about your business, having cast your little seeds, and God does the rest. You didn't do that much, and you have no idea what you did. You wonder if it makes any difference. But that's just the way God's kingdom works. Rejoice. God will give the harvest. God is working behind the scenes, quietly, secretly, yes, even when we sleep, bringing about the kingdom. I need this message as much as any of you, maybe more, because I have to confess to you that in 33 years of pastoral ministry, there have been many times when I've wondered if my ministry has made any difference in the kingdom. And I have to admit, maybe not all that much. But then last fall, Mary and I went back to Ohio, to Worcester Mennonite, where I served for nearly 9 years, and there Roy came up to me afterward, after one of the sessions, and said, "Wayne," said, "I need to tell you how much you meant to me and my family when my wife Sue was going through illness." I never told you then, but I want to tell you now. And a couple of other people did the same thing. And that carried me forward, and I could use that when in times of discouragement. And I'm grateful for your affirmation as well of me, of each other, that I think carry you as well. I hope that for you to have small experiences where you know that you modeled Jesus and have made some small difference in someone's life, that carries you through your times of discouragement too. Because Jesus promises a harvest. Will it be big enough? That's perhaps the question we often live with, because the church seems to be in decline rather than growing. The kingdom starts like a small seed, a mustard seed, Jesus says in the second parable. So it's not looking great. How big could it get? How big does a mustard seed get? Well, certainly not big enough to fill our sanctuary. Certainly not big enough to meet our budget. Certainly not big enough to put a dent in the world's poverty, either financial or moral poverty. So what's a small church? What's a small denomination? What's a small gospel going to do in a big world? It grows, Jesus says. Yes, it grows and becomes the largest of all shrubs. That's what it does. Becomes the largest of all shrubs. And I can imagine Jesus' disciples like, what? You got these redwood trees, and you're talking about this mustard seed that grows into this mighty shrub? I'm not very impressed. We'd like a forest of redwoods, wouldn't we? Not a lowly shrub. But perhaps Jesus is intentional in this image. The mustard plant remains lowly, like a king who enters a city humble and riding on a donkey, who comes not to be served, but to serve, taking the form of a servant. The kingdom of God, Jesus must be saying, is great in its humility and lowliness. It stoops to wash feet. It kneels to bind up wounds by the side of the road. It is lifted up, yes, even on a cross where there is reconciliation. This lowly shrub is not big enough for the birds, is big enough for the birds of the air to find a home, Jew and Gentile. Male and female, black and white and every other color, gay and straight, rich and poor, introvert and extrovert. Birds of every feather can flock together in this shrub because it's big enough. The kingdom starts small and grows of itself, independent of our tricks, of our trends, of our tampering. It grows in ways we can't see, we can't know, becomes the greatest of all shrubs, big enough for people to come together from east and west and north and south. Families come together and find their way and sit at the table together. May our church, may our faith be so big and yet so humble. May we sleep and sleep well, knowing that the kingdom of God is growing, has taken root, and that there will be a harvest. Amen.